Stream all episodes now.
I'm Tobias, airport chaplain.
At Australia's most chaotic airport resides its steadiest hero.
You must have a few stories.
The Airport Chaplain. Stream all episodes now on SBS On Demand.
You're listening to SBS News.
Hi everyone, I'm back. Coming up, the latest on the direction of interest rates, why the market's repricing the chances of a rate rise, what it means for mortgage arrears, and the latest on reporting season. All of that and more next. Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Thursday, the 27th of August 2026, a day where the Australian share market fell by 1%. We'll have the details with Robert Terlewski from Activam soon, but it's because of changing interest rate expectations. Economists at three of Australia's big four banks have now reinstated their calls for an official interest rate rise. Those at NAB the most hawkish, expecting a 25 basis point increase to 4.6% at the next RBA board meeting in September. ANZ and CBA say the RBA will wait until Melbourne Cup Day in November, while Westpac says it'll remain on hold this year. And it follows yesterday's official inflation numbers, which showed the underlying rate remained well above the central bank's target band at 3.6%, and repeated warnings from the governor of the board's willingness to act should price pressures remain. While it would mean higher borrowing costs at a time when many property prices are falling, some experts say those with a mortgage remain
likely to derail arrears performance, provided unemployment remains low. Most borrowers are managing to stay on top of their mortgage repayments, and we expect this to continue to be the case. That doesn't mean household budgets aren't financially stretched. It just means that it's not manifesting in significantly higher arrears at the moment.
Do you think this is true?
Look, I think the risk of negative equity, particularly for more highly leveraged borrowers that bought at the peak of property markets, will rise as property prices fall. However, we don't believe it presents a systemic risk given the overall limited exposure to very highly leveraged loans in the broader mortgage market. But overall, too, low unemployment does mitigate default risk. Negative equity or borrowers more exposed to negative equity risk could be more predisposed to falling into arrears because it limits their ability to voluntarily sell properties, which helps to alleviate financial pressure, which means they may be forced to stay in arrears for longer.
Some borrowers, though, are falling behind. What kind of home loans, what kind of borrower, and where are they likely to be situated if they are behind in their repayments?
Highly leveraged borrowers with limited equity buffers and limited savings buffers are typically the borrowers that are more sensitive to rising arrears. And these are often more likely to be first homeowners given the limited savings buffers there. Where are they? Often in our arrears data sets, we find elevated arrears still persist in areas like northwest Melbourne and southwest Sydney. And these are often areas where you do see more first homeowners, given property prices are typically more affordable in these areas on the more outskirts of capital cities.
So based on what you were saying, I mean, how many jobs need to go? Where does that unemployment rate need to be to see this concerning change?
Yeah, I think that's a hard question to put a specific number on. But I think, you know, if you look back to where the GFC levels, you know, arrears got around 2% for most prime borrowers and unemployment was sitting at much higher levels than what it is now. So I still think that, you know, where unemployment sits now and potential even small increases in that are unlikely to cause material pressure on arrears.
It's Erin Kitson there from S&P Global Ratings.
Buongiorno, signorina.
Buongiorno.
Sean McAuliffe guides six notable Australians back to their ancestral homelands.
It was just one of the best experiences I've ever had.
The new season of Sean McAuliffe's Origin Odyssey. Stream now on SBS On Demand.
Now to the Australian share market, where the S&P ASX 200 fell 1% to 9,038 points, led lower by consumer stocks following those growing expectations of an interest rate rise. JB Hi-Fi down 4.5%. There was mixed reaction to companies reporting today, like Wesfarmers, which tumbled 4.6%, but Qantas rallied 4.8%. For more, I spoke with Robert Tilevsky from Activam just ahead of the market close. Rob, the market's down today. Why and what's driving it lower?
So the markets were down 0.7% today. 10 out of 11 sectors were weaker. With the prospect of further pressure on mortgage holders, JB Hi-Fi slid 3%. Harvey Norman was also down 1%. Overnight in the US, equity markets were flat. Nvidia, a barometer on the AI trade, beat top and bottom line expectations. Data centers revenue missed slightly, and margins were reported at 75%. A closely sort of watched US price gauge, core PCE, rose in line with expectations in July, still up 3.3% year on year. And the consumer spending stalled in July in the US, giving the Fed some room to hold interest rates steady in the near term. Investors will be listening to Fed Chair Warsh when he speaks at Jackson Hole.
Another big profit reporting day. Qantas, Wesfarmers, the owner of Chemist Warehouse, Sigma, just to name a few. Which were the ones you were keeping an eye on and how did you read them?
Yeah, so Sigma Health, which owns Chemist Warehouse, was one I was watching closely. Weight loss drugs are up, a key driver. Profit was up 33%. Almost 1,000 stores globally, still expanding into the UK and Europe. Look, my read, it's an impressive growth story there, a genuine winner for this profit season.
Now, Qantas and Wesfarmers in particular, they've got consumer angles, right? What do they say about consumer demand? Because the ABS today said that household spending continues to rise and is actually up for a third month in a row.
Yeah, so household spending is up for the third month in a row. Look, the consumer isn't pulling back. Wesfarmers backs that up, that result. Underlying profit is up 8.3%. Our favourite, Bunnings and Kmart, both firing. Qantas is a different story, a fuel story more like, not a sort of demand story, if you like. Profit was hit by Middle East conflict. Bottom line, Wesfarmers says the consumer is still spending. However, Qantas says it's a fuel cost issue, not a demand issue.
So we're coming to the end of profit reporting season. How would you rate it? And what were some of the lessons that you learned?
Yeah, so the ASX financial year 2026 earnings are sort of tracking at around 12% year-end growth. But if you strip out the minings and the financials, it sort of shrinks to around 2.5%. The winners, the mining stocks, the industrials and the IT sector, the AI sort of data center theme there, and critical minerals, the key drivers there. The laggards are the financials and the real estate sector, as with obviously with the housing headwinds as well being an issue there. What the CEOs are flagging, cost pressures, fuel, freight and wages, and turning more to sort of, I guess, more cautious into their guidance into financial year 2027.
So finally, what are you telling your clients right now? Where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Stay invested. This bull market has more time to run and is underpinned by a broadening of earning strength and not just AI alone. That supports that continuation. We favour global equities over domestic equities. Aussie banks, although obviously we've seen some slowdown and headwinds from the housing sector, produce some resilient profit to results. We like the Australian small caps and mid caps again, as we sort of near the end of the rate cycle here in Australia, the hiking cycle, if you like. Global small caps and mid caps and emerging markets should continue to rally going forward.
That is Robert Tilevsky there from Activam, and he wraps up the podcast for this Thursday. Give it a like, a review and subscribe if you enjoy it. And don't forget you can watch On the Money during the 6:30 weekday edition of SBS World News on SBS. The podcast returns tomorrow. It drops after the market close every weekday, and I'll catch you then.